Welcome to Paradigm Shifters, everyone, and we have some true paradigm shifting going on in the way people are applying healing through touch, through tapping, through meridians, through all kinds of things that we hear more and more about lately. And we have a very, very interesting guest who works for people's health and people's healing in a system called Touch for Health. Welcome to the show, Matthew Thee.
Thank you.
Your system is very, very intriguing to me. And maybe you want to break it down and tell people how it works, because I think it's a combination, isn't it, of ancient tools and modern discussions with those tools and different ways of using them?
Well, my father was a chiropractor, John Thee, and he developed the Touch for Health system based on George Goodhart's applied kinesiology. And George Goodhart was also a chiropractor, and he was looking for all the ways to develop, to balance the spine and the physical posture. So in chiropractic, they say, if your spine's in line, you will feel fine. So he first started out with a physical muscle test to see, well, where are the weak muscles? Where are the muscles that are damaged or injured? And what kind of exercises do we need to teach people so that they can balance out the muscles so that the posture will be balanced out?
And muscle tests at that point, that was a new thing, was it? Muscle testing is something we hear about.
Muscle testing had been developed already in the 40s by Kendall and Kendall and others. And in the university, the kinesiology that you learn about is usually, they still use the Kendall and Kendall textbook as a main text. So it's the actual physical mechanics of the muscle and how to put it in its position of greatest advantage and isolated from other muscles to see, is this muscle physically functioning? Does it have strength? Is it damaged? Is it paralyzed?
And when you do muscle testing, doesn't that sort of reveal how much of the natural energy of the body is able to run through the muscle where it's not bunched up or it's not holding back?
Well, that seems to be a factor, and that's one of the things that Goodhart discovered and uncovered and started to develop, and then what he started calling applied kinesiology. So, yes, physical strength or some problem with neurology, if there's been a disease like polio or something, you can have paralysis and atrophy of the muscles. But Goodhart found there were a lot of muscles that when he did the test didn't seem to be functioning optimally, but when he went and palpated the muscle, felt it physically, there was a muscle there, and the rule is use it or lose it with muscles. So some other factor was interfering other than it's actually being paralyzed. So he found one of the first factors was just massaging the muscle directly sometimes woke it up and got it functioning. But then he eventually started mapping other different touch reflex systems like the neurovasculars and the neurolymphatics, and eventually he came to the acupuncture system. And when he found that using either just tracing your hand along the energy path of the meridian from acupuncture or massaging certain acupuncture points to balance the energy in the meridians that the muscles responded, then he had a great system where he could use the energy to balance the muscles, but then the muscles were also a way to assess what's happening with the energy.
So let's. Then when did your father come into it? Because he came in and developed his own system, right?
Well, he started hearing Goodhart talking about the posture and how you could check the muscles and that there were all these different types of touch reflexes you could use to change the response of the muscles and then balance the posture. And that was all new to him, so he was very excited about it. And he got very much involved in helping George Goodhart to organize workshops and share them first in California and then around the country. But then he also found that many of these different reflex points, you know, so often they're like tender massage points between different ribs, different levels on the spine to help balance particular muscles, that his patients could sort of learn those while he was doing them. And if they had a return of symptoms or an imbalance, they could just rub their own points. And oftentimes that gave them immediate relief and they didn't necessarily have to come back as much. So then he said, well, we need to organize a program for lay people where they're using the techniques from chiropractic and applied kinesiology that are safe and not use other ones that really you need to, the real manual skill to do it safely. And that's when he organized the Touch for Health program.
And it really is oftentimes a light touch, isn't it?
Well, in particular, when we use what we call the neurovascular points, or otherwise known as the Bennett reflex points, and those are points mostly on the head, although Bennett had more points on the body, those are very light holding points, and they are associated with a capillary pulse. And apparently by holding those, it affects the blood flow to different organs in the body and different areas in the brain. But for us in Touch for Health, the main thing we notice is that it changes how specific muscles respond. They seem to get their strength back, their ease of use, their flexibility, range of motion. And all that contributes to, of course, the physical posture being in balance. But since we're working through the vascular system and the energy system in the background, it's also improving the overall function of the body and the energy flow.
Hmm. And are you a chiropractor, Matt?
No, I'm not a chiropractor. My college education was in literature, and then I later got my master's in education. So I was a school teacher for 9 years. But Touch for Health is something we always used in my family, and I went and took the instructor training just so I would be, you know, sharp with the techniques, and used it with family and friends for many years. And then later on, after I was a school teacher for 9 years, I decided, okay, that was enough public service in that role, and then I got more into teaching the Touch for Health classes. So I'm a Touch for Health instructor, and I've taught thousands of people to use these basic techniques to use for themselves in the home, but I also train other instructors to teach other people. So it's kind of a grassroots lay model of sharing the information.
I think it's a really, really exciting time for this sort of thing as well, don't you, that like, for example, I want to do several things. One is I'd love to hear some stories about people who shifted what was going on in their body. And another one is that I'd love you to relate to, for example, the energy fields seem to be so fast moving in our society. Wouldn't that help something like Touch for Health move more quickly through the body? Wouldn't it help release people from trauma?
Yeah, and probably the most well-known energy work or energy psychology technique is called emotional freedom technique.
Right.
And that actually has its roots in applied kinesiology. So Callahan, who developed thought field therapy, or TFT, which was the precursor to emotional freedom technique, he studied first with Goodhart, and then he developed his technique. So this combination of muscle testing, biofeedback, then getting into what emotions might be involved, and then doing some kind of meridian-based therapy, because the EFT, you're tapping on endpoints of meridians. So it's working with the meridian system to clear out energy blocks where trauma or stress is kind of can be in the memory of the body, maybe in the muscle memory or some other circuits. And by working through some simple techniques of tapping endpoints of meridians, they get incredible results with emotional freedom technique.
Mm-hmm.
We have something in Touch for Health. We use it even simpler. We just call it emotional stress release. And as you mentioned earlier, we have some light holding points on the head. We just hold these points just in the middle of the forehead on both sides above the eyes. And by holding those points lightly and just thinking through the stress, we often find it takes some of the charge off of the stress. It doesn't, you can be aware of your emotions and aware of the events that happened in the past or what's stressing you out right now. But you get some emotional distance, and you're not overwhelmed by it. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the theories is the blood flows to the back brain when you have some stressful situation that you're considering. You kind of go into an alarm reaction, which might be good if you need to run away from a lion and climb up a tree very quickly. But most of our daily challenges in life, yeah, there are times when you have to do that. So it's good that you can react that way. But when you're driving in traffic, you don't really want to go into that survival response.
No.
So by just lightly holding those points on the forehead, what seems to happen, it seems to correspond with the blood coming back to the forebrain, the higher order thinking skills, what some people call the executive brain, where you can think about what is the reality that's going on. You can be aware of what the emotions are, but you can still be in a place where you can creatively choose how you want to respond to the situation.
And those are just the little bumps at the front of the forehead that would imply that we could have little horns there if we wanted, right?
Yeah, those little bumps, sometimes called the frontal eminences, basically right at the base of those bumps on each side. You can hold them one with each hand or just put your whole hand over your forehead, and just by lightly holding there and just being aware of whatever the stress, where you're feeling it in the body, we often find that relieves a lot of the charge, a lot of that sense of overwhelm, but it often also relieves the stress itself. Like you don't have the same level of emotion. It kind of brings you out of that reactive mode.
Do you think that in these days we do have more stress with the amount of information we're all trying to process and the traffic and all that?
Well, it certainly seems to me that things are going faster and faster. You know, on the one hand, I barely recall what it was like to try to get through a business day without having any email. I was joking to a friend the other day, remember in the old days when you put a piece of paper in an envelope and you went and put it in a box and you waited a week for it to get there?
I know. Now it's
but
called
also,
mail, right? Yeah.
Right. But I also cannot open all of the mails that I get. And some of them are junk and that's fine. I just delete them. But the volume of information and the speed of the turnaround, you know, it's like the news cycle used to be a weekly cycle and then daily cycle. Now it's 24-hour news. You can go on the internet and find new news any time of the day or night. I think just that the acceleration is just continuing. And so, yeah, I think it's the stress due to that is greater than ever.
But you think we can move it through, right? We can flow it through.
Well, I mean, you can make a conscious choice to structure your time somewhat and say, I'll answer emails only during this time of day. You know, I see when I used to go to cafes in the 80s and even 90s, they were social places where people went and they talked to each other. Now I go to cafes, everybody's online and they're all interacting with people, but nobody's present with anyone physically.
I know, isn't that weird?
So,
if they aren't, they're on the phone, so that's similar, right?
People are all at dinner together, but everybody's got their little tablet in front of their face clicking away, and there's no direct human interaction.
So
and even back in the 70s.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Even back in the 70s when Touch for Health first came out, part of the reason we called it Touch for Health was that we just wanted to emphasize the point that we need a safe, appropriate environment where human beings can get together and touch each other in an appropriate way for the purpose of their health, because being social animals, we need that physical contact. But it's kind of been just because of we don't want to abuse sexual or physical or punishment, we said, okay, no touching whatsoever, and that's throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah, it really is.
So part of the purpose of Touch for Health, even though we have some very specific acupuncture points that have some very good energetic results, just the fact that people get together to touch each other in a really appropriate, non-invasive way to support each other, that right there is an antidote to this very ever more disconnected society that we have.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. So what happens? Let's pick a few cases. Like, for example, do you work with people when you're practitioners? I guess you don't do a lot of this right now. But if you're working with people who are in pain, it's a good place to start with them, isn't it? Isn't Touch for Health excellent for that?
Well, yeah, pain is one of those things that there is no scientific measurement of whether you have it or not, but we all know that we have it.
Right.
There's no machine to measure how much pain you have.
That's
you
right.
just have to depend on the person's subjective sense, and so that's the scientific measurement. They have whatever the system working with pain. They ask people, what is their subjective sense of the pain, and what is the quality of the pain, and all those things. And sometimes just stopping and paying attention to the pain and getting the message is the most important thing for relieving the pain. But if we just try to repress it or bury it or erase it, maybe we can ignore it, but it's going to find a new way to come out until the message is heard. So one of the things that we do with people in Touch for Health, we do have a strong component of dialogue, of listening to people, and it's part of a positive goal setting procedure. But the first thing, before you even need to focus on a positive goal, you need to respect the person where they're at. And oftentimes the great motivator for anyone asking someone else for help, whether it's in a clinic or whether they're just asking a friend to do a little muscle balancing on them to support them, you have to respect the great motivator is often pain. So you have to take a moment to listen to them. And what is the quality and where is it and how's it interfering with their life? And then once you've heard that and put a number on it, what's the number now? Then we do find just by starting to reframe it to some positive focus, like when the pain is gone or when it's less, what will you be doing different? Will you have greater strength, greater flexibility? And if you have greater flexibility, what do you want to do different in your life? What is your positive goal? And sometimes just hearing about the pain, what is it? What is it blocking, or what is the message? And then focusing on the positive that you want, it already begins to shift the pain. The number already starts to go down.
Because the pain is allowed, really. It's allowed to be there so that you can get the message, right?
Yeah, I mean, we just have this concept that we're not supposed to have emotions, that we're not supposed to have pain. We're just supposed to ignore them. And if they're there, let's take some medications that will erase them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a classic cliche. That's like looking at your dashboard in your car, and when the red light comes on, just get some spray paint and spray paint it out so it doesn't bother you anymore.
And it may create you a bit of problem, right? So what about if somebody needed surgery or something? Is there any reason for a person, or is any use of using Touch for Health in preparation or in healing, or what would you recommend?
Well, because we teach Touch for Health to everybody, we don't require any background. They don't have to have medical knowledge. We have to be a little bit careful to make sure we're all working within safe boundaries. So we use what's called the self-responsibility model, which means if the person is knowledgeable enough about themselves and they're conscious and they're an adult and they can make their own decisions and be responsible for them, then we can work with them.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's any doubt about a particular injury, should we work with them or should we not work with them, and they don't know, we have to refer them back to whoever the expert they're working with. And if they haven't even consulted someone, if they just fell out of a tree and you heard a cracking noise, you want to send them directly to the emergency room or somebody who's going to give them the urgent care, get that checked out. And then when you find it's appropriate to work with them, some non-invasive, gentle muscle testing, then yes, can be very helpful regardless of the condition. You know, we don't treat any particular condition in Touch for Health. What we do is we balance the physical posture, we get the energy flowing, we do some things to relieve stress and get the emotions more in balance so that the person overall is in a better balance, less stress, so that their natural healing system is going to do what it's designed to do. If your healing system wasn't working, you wouldn't be alive. So your body's taking care of itself naturally. So all we really need to do is facilitate the natural function of the body, and then whatever it is, whether you're going to anticipating surgery, stress or fear might be part of it. So we can balance the person to help cope with that, to reduce the stress so that there'll be less impact of the surgery.
Right.
And that also after the surgery, it's a natural healing system that's going to have to recover from it. There may be some necessary surgery and it's had a real benefit, but it's a real impact on the body. So the body's going to need to recover. So if we can put the body in a more relaxed, balanced state, make sure all the energy is flowing, particularly through the areas that have been damaged with the surgery, then the body's much more likely to heal more quickly and in the best way.
So what about, you know, that really makes incredible sense to me and to a lot of people I know, is to release sort of the blocks and the tensions in the muscles, which you can do separately from a really difficult physical condition, can't you? I mean, or it's a part of the healing, instead of just drugs is what I'm thinking.
Right. You know, and my father got into chiropractic because his father before him was a naturopath, and their focus was how can we work with the nature of the body, with natural things like a good diet and drinking plenty of water, just to help the body to function in its natural way.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously, if you're still walking around and talking, the body's still taking care of a lot of business in the background that you're not consciously aware of.
Hmm.
So if there's some pain or symptom, it usually isn't because there's an aspirin deficiency in the body. You know, that's not.
Yeah, I noticed that, yeah.
That's not a vitamin that we actually need. So yes, in order to get rest, in order to heal, you may well need some drugs. You know, there's an appropriate place for those, especially at certain heroic life-saving moments when you've been in some accident. Western medicine is the best for saving lives in that sense. But for 90% of the day-to-day conditions people have, there isn't any really particular diagnosis or treatment for those things. And they say, well, you're not really sick. They say, but I don't feel so good. I feel out of balance. I'm not happy, or I'm not motivated. So for all of those things, we say, well, there's something is out of balance. If you're having aches and pains, even if there's no diagnosable disease, if you're not waking up and having your feeling vital and excited about the day, something's blocked, something's out of balance. And so whether you're coming from the chiropractic standpoint of having the physical body in balance, or from the Chinese medicine standpoint that your qi, your life energy needs to be in balance and flowing to have vitality in life, that's the basis. You know, your natural state is balance and health. If you have anything less than that, it means something's out of balance, something's blocked.
It could mean the traffic jams are too much and you've done too many emails, too.
Of course.
But I know here on Touch for Health, there's a balancing process that we could all learn to offset that, right?
Yeah, so we do a basic process. It comes half from chiropractic, half from Chinese medicine, and then kind of informed with just a little bit of person-centered psychology, a little positive psychology, focus on the positive. So you want to have a positive purpose for each balance. Just by focusing on the positive, that starts to move energy in the direction you want to go. But then we're going to test a series of muscles to kind of get an overall sense of the physical posture. But one of the ways that we can balance those muscles, if we find some of them don't seem to have their full strength, they don't seem to be functioning optimally, we can use the energy system. And thereby, when we're balancing the muscles with the energy, we're also balancing the energy system. So we pick a set of 14 basic muscles on each side of the body, so actually 28 muscles. And we've chosen a set that's good for the overall posture, but also one muscle that relates more closely back to each of the major energy pathways in the body from Chinese medicine, or the meridians. So we call it a 14 muscle or 14 meridian balance.
Okay.
So when we check through the muscles, and there's a muscle out of balance, and when you push on it, you know, not with a heavy pressure, but see if it's easy to hold in place, and it doesn't seem so easy, that's an indication of some imbalance in the posture, but also probably some block in the energy flow, often not enough energy flowing through to that muscle. Mm-hmm. And maybe it was for a good reason. At a certain moment, you tensed up because, you know, there was going to be some impact, some trauma, or you were feeling defensive. But then afterwards, when the moment's over, you're actually out of the traffic and you sit down on your couch at home and the tension is still there.
Right.
So you want to go through the muscles, check them, and any that don't seem to be in their full balance, we'll rub different reflex points to switch them back on. That balances out the overall posture and gets the energy flowing in the whole body.
That's why it's called the zip up or the switch on, right?
Well, zipping up and switching on are two simple techniques anybody can do just to energize. We usually do that before the 14 muscle balance. So you use your hand to trace from the pubic bone right up the midline to just below the lower lip, and that's tracing the central meridian or the major yin channel from Chinese medicine. And actually, by just tracing your hand up, you encourage that natural flow of that meridian, and you may find it helps you to feel more balanced. We associate that one more closely to brain function, so it might improve your thinking clarity. And then the switching on that you mentioned, that's another acupuncture point that we can massage, and it's kind of a master acupuncture point to switch on the flow in all of the 14. So it's a quick shortcut using just one acupuncture point, just in the space below the head of the clavicle. If you massage those, they may or may not be tender, and it's not really about massaging firmly, is just stimulating the points, and you may find a nice surge of energy to help balance your flow of energy and your mental clarity.
So you're not looking through, while you're doing this technique, you're not looking for places that are really uncomfortable or that hurt or anything. You're just doing the system. Is that right?
Well, we would usually start out with an assessment how the person is feeling. So if there's any places that are some aches and pains, we put a number on that, 0 to 10. And that's another thing that we've just adapted to the system. But in many different pain control systems, they found that if you put a measure 0 to 10 on whatever your pain or discomfort or stress or emotion, and then you do whatever your intervention is, whether you hold your forehead lightly or you drink water, and then you check the number afterwards, noticing, even if it's a small difference, changes your sense, oh yes, something has changed, there is hope for me. And statistically, you will actually get better results with whatever technique you're using by measuring before and after. So we always measure all of these things, how you're feeling, but we also like to get a measure of a positive goal, like I'm feeling at my optimum, I do my best, or Maybe it's, you know, I do what's necessary to bring the income. But usually we get the discussion a little bit beyond the actual money and into what are you going to do with that money and what's that's going to bring you in life. And we balance for that positive.
You mean you actually can switch on for prosperity?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I heard that some years ago, but I haven't heard anybody corroborate that. That's great.
Yes, we like to have a positive goal for every balance, but we also want to be aware of what are the aches and pains or emotions to notice how those change afterwards. And by and large, they change at least a little bit, but oftentimes quite dramatically.
Wow. Have you worked with things like bipolar, that sort of thing? There's a lot of that going on, or ADD, the kinds of things that are going on these days in rather large numbers.
When you get into those diagnoses, of course, you want to be a little bit careful because people bandy these words around. They're almost just like slang expressions that mean something in everyday culture, but they really are a medical diagnosis. So again, since Touch for Health is used by nurses, it's approved for continuing education for nurses, massage therapists, acupuncturists, all kinds. In fact, a large percentage of the students who come to my classes are already some kind of healthcare worker, and they integrate it into what they're doing. But as a lay person, I'm not going to try to diagnose and treat one of these named conditions. But certainly, if it's safe, given what their condition is, to do some gentle exercise, to talk a little bit about what their positive goals are, and then to rub some of the acupuncture points, it's very non-invasive, if we find it's not dangerous, then it can be an adjunct to whatever appropriate treatment they might need for, you know, one of these diagnosed conditions.
What about babies? Is it possible to work on, because they're not able to tell you exactly what's going on. Well, they kind of sing it, don't they?
Well, of course, you can pay attention to how the baby seems to be behaving. It can express itself one way or another. But what we find is you can do a muscle test on one person and then have them come in contact with the second person with the intention of reflecting their energy. We call it surrogate testing. And so we often muscle test babies by testing their mother or some other adult to get an indication of the energy flow on the child. And then we can very gently hold some light holding points, or maybe very gently massage some of the acupressure points, or trace the energy pathways on the child. Or if the mother's not comfortable with that, we can actually do all the energy work on the mother. And I think any mother will tell you there's a connection with their child. And so that benefit will, even though you're not necessarily touching the child directly, the child can get the benefit of that energy work.
Wow. It's very evolutionary, isn't it? It's wonderful.
We think we're coming into alignment with what most of the human history has been energy work. And it's only kind of the last 100 years or so that there's been such a focus on surgery and pharmaceuticals, which in their place, they're incredible. And I wouldn't want to go without them. But I also wouldn't want to have only drugs and surgery is my only option.
Mm-hmm.
So we're using kind of not as historically known technology in terms of muscle testing as biofeedback to reflect the energy. And then we're also incorporating some of these things like Chinese medicine has been around 4,000 or 5,000 years.
Yeah, it's really quite... So how many do doctors these days accept it a lot more? Are many doctors studying it? I know nurses, I know that, and physical therapists and so on, but are the doctors actually taking it into?
Well, in the United States, which is ironic because this is where it all started here in California and Goodhart started in Detroit, it's still relatively unknown. If you talk to a chiropractor, he'll probably know something about muscle testing and applied kinesiology, but they still don't teach Goodhart's applied kinesiology in most of the chiropractic colleges. But almost every chiropractic college will have an AK club. But if you go to the university where they're teaching what we call academic kinesiology, and it's all the body mechanics and how the muscles work, they won't know anything about combining, for the most part, as far as I'm aware, anything about combining the energy work with that to change the responses of the muscles.
Go ahead. I'm interested.
In other countries, there hasn't been quite the same 100% reliance on just the orthodox medical profession as it has been in this country. So in Germany, for example, homeopathy never died out. It has a continuous chain and it's still being used, and it was never kind of eliminated. But in this country, it was almost completely eliminated. Mm-hmm. And also naturopathic physicians, which they call there the hylopractor, has just been a constant part of the tradition. So that type of natural healing, working with the energy's natural function, the natural function of the body and diet and so forth, that's just a continuous tradition there. And so when we bring Touch for Health in, it's much more an obvious thing that people would want to adopt. So it's much more known there. So for example, in Switzerland, the insurance companies pay for sessions with kinesiologists who are using Touch for Health and other energy balancing modalities with muscle testing.
That should be a whole lot cheaper for people and doctors and countries and governments and all that too, eh?
Well, going all the way back to the 70s when my father first came out with Touch for Health, that was one of his primary objectives in sharing this knowledge with people, that if they get into a self-care and preventive model of seeing, okay, I've got some small aches and pains, that's not something to just erase with a drug. I should pay attention to it, figure out why I'm, what's out of balance. Maybe I need to shift my diet and develop my health to prevent all these major diseases that people aren't doing anything about, until you're already developing diabetes and heart disease, and then they say, ah, now you've got a disease, now we can treat it with all the different drugs that we have, which is never really a solution. It's just kind of something to keep you alive while you continue with the same condition.
I've often wondered if things like cancer aren't just like things stuck. There's a stagnancy. I know it isn't always the same with anybody, but there's a lot of stagnance in disease, isn't there? Stagnance in the body where things are pooled up and stuck, right?
Yeah, and from our model, we would talk about there's maybe an imbalance in the physical posture, so that if it's not in balance, things aren't going to flow as well. So it can be just as obvious a thing as there's not an optimum lymph flow. Also, big part of, you know, the epidemic in diabetes and heart disease in this country is that we've become so sedentary. Mm-hmm. And 2/3 of the fluid in your body is lymph, and that's kind of, it brings nutrients to the cells, but it's also kind of the sewer system of the body, so it's always cleaning the body out. But what moves the lymph is not so much the heart, but your breathing and your physical movement. The actual physical movement of the muscles is the pump that moves the lymph. So if you're not moving, your body fluid just, and on that gross level, your body's not being cleaned. So, of course, it's going to have a harder time to stay healthy. And then eventually down the line, all these different disease conditions, they certainly aren't helped by that. So that's one of the factors. But my father always used to say, well, regardless of your condition, I can tell you right now what is the cause. And the cause is, don't even tell me what the condition is, the cause is life.
No.
Whatever you've been doing in your life up till now, all those factors in life, whether it's your stinking thinking or whatever you're choosing to eat or whether you're exercising or how you're keeping in balance and focusing on health and not just masking the symptoms of disease, all those things add up to whatever your current condition is.
Yeah.
And by addressing as many of those factors together, you're going to start moving in the direction of health. And it's overall health that's going to be the biggest factor in not developing diseases and at least giving the body support so that it can heal and reverse some of these disease functions.
Well, that also makes such sense. But Matt, growing up in it, did you resist it or rebel or anything, or did you just grow up in that awareness and practice it?
Well, we were kind of required to learn all the techniques in our family just because that's part of what our family did. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't necessarily always adapt and use all the techniques all the time. When I moved away to college, I wasn't necessarily always following the best diet, although, you know, my awareness and some education about it probably led to some better diet choices, some awareness of what was better and what was the worst type of processed foods to avoid and that kind of thing.
Or learning how you felt. You probably could pay attention to how you felt in response to them, huh?
Right, and just some basic rules of thumb. But, I mean, in today's culture, you hear more and more about you want to have fresh, seasonal, organic, local food, and that's ideal. But a lot of people still poo-poo that as having any reality, and they're not worried at all about these foods that come from the factory that have been so changed and adulterated and processed that their body is just processing them as poison and not as food.
Yeah, really.
So,
yeah.
I mean, we don't get too much into telling people what they should and shouldn't eat in Touch for Health, except to have the basic rule. You want to eat foods in their most natural state. And then we can also muscle test. You want to notice how you feel, but sometimes it takes 2 or 3 days to notice the effect of a certain food. So when you're looking, searching for foods to eliminate that might be related to certain symptoms you're having, it can be quite a detective job. But we can do some muscle testing to show the subtle effects of a certain food on your energy that you wouldn't notice necessarily right away physically.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking for what are the foods that raise your energy and what are the foods that lower your energy. Bringing in the muscle test from Touch for Health can give you another subtle clue beyond just, well, let me eat the food and let me wait a couple hours and see how I feel. At that point, you've already eaten it and you're going to have to process it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can muscle test and say, this seems to bring my energy down, maybe I don't want to eat that right now, or maybe I'll eat less of that and more of the green leafy vegetables that bring my energy up. Of course, I can tell you kale is good and everyone should eat it, but that depends on the individual person.
Right.
So they can muscle test to see if right now this particular kale is really what's going to raise my energy.
Well, you just said something interesting. You said right now. So what you're saying is that things that are good for us can even change in their impact depending on how we're feeling that day, right?
Yeah, according to how you're doing and what your needs are and where you're allocating your energy, what you're focusing on, what you're trying to achieve. And, you know, according to the Chinese, every energy pathway and every major organ in the body has its time of peak activity throughout the day.
Hmm.
So your energy is constantly shifting on a 24-hour cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So what foods might most support your energy for breakfast could be something different for lunch and something different again for dinner.
And maybe a different on a Thursday than a Sunday or something.
Wait. Right. And when you're much more in balance, you may tolerate a little bit better some of the foods. But by muscle testing and seeing, well, it's not really raising your energy, it can help you to keep your energy high rather than, you know, just being at the tolerance level.
And so give everybody a little bit of a couple of muscle test examples, because it sounds like it's way out there for people who don't know. Yet I know a lot of people that have a number of styles of muscle testing.
Well, there's two main ideas people have with muscle testing. One is you muscle test individual muscles just to see how, for example, if my knee hurts, let me check the different muscles in my knee to see how they're functioning. If some of them don't seem to have their optimum energy, when you put some pressure against it, it's very difficult to hold in its contracted position.
Mm-hmm.
You can use some acupressure points to bring the energy to those muscles. And if all the muscles are functioning in the knee, it's going to give much better support. Even if I have an injury, it's going to function better and it's going to heal better if all the muscles are switched on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one form of biofeedback, just seeing just the muscle itself and its function, and let's get that into balance and let's have the person function better physically. But there's many factors that affect the function of the muscle. So it could be an emotional factor. So maybe my knee doesn't hurt until I think about that person that I was so involved with 3 years ago, and then we had a big falling out, and now whenever I think of them, my knee hurts.
Right.
I had a friend tell me, this knee problem, I realized it only hurts when I think of my ex-husband. I think my ex-husband is there in my knee. I said, oh, okay, so what can we do about that? She said, I'm going to go get surgery. I said, all right, well, if you believe in the ritual of cutting your knee to let the spirit of your ex-husband out, and you think that's going to work, go for it. It doesn't really match my belief. If it's an emotional issue, let's deal with the emotions. Let's talk about them. Let's see how much they're affecting you. And then let's move the energy to release that so that you don't have to have your knee complaining every time you think of your ex-husband.
So if a person sticks an arm out and you resist against somebody pulling on the arm, you know that one, you stick your arm out and the other person pulls on it and tries to pull it down and you hold against it. You know that one?
Yes.
Now that...
So-
I was just thinking, if that person, if you were doing that with that person, and you could change the thinking or the feeling or release the feeling about the husband, and then the arm would get strong again, right? It would be weak and then it would be strong.
Right. That's a classic demonstration of what in Touch for Health we call the indicator muscle. We're just using a particular muscle that's already in good balance. The muscle itself is working fine.
Okay.
But you can then use it as an indication, a biofeedback of a different aspects of the person. So you either hold their arm straight out to the side, parallel with the shoulder. So you'd be testing pretty much the middle deltoid muscle, which is a big, strong muscle, so it's easier for them to hold it out. Another common one is just to hold it just a little bit forward from the body, about 30 degrees away from the body. And it's a little more subtle test because you're using a smaller test, anterior deltoid. But either way, you check the muscle first to see that, it's functioning in the usual way. And then you have them think about what the stressful situation is. And what you find, there's usually quite a dramatic and obvious lowering of the energy to the muscle. When you push on it, it's hard to hold up, or they just can't hold it up at all.
Because they're thinking about their ex or something, right?
Yeah, because that stressful thought, the response of the muscle, it just so happens, it kind of gives you a momentary weakening in the muscles. So we can use that as an indication of the level of stress. How much it causes the muscle to switch off is kind of a quick reaction. The same way, specifically, you might have a pain in your knee. We're just using just any muscle that's convenient to test to see if there's a response. Mm-hmm. So it's indicating what's the emotional response or the energetic response to the thought. And then we'll do whatever our balancing procedure is. For us, if it's that emotional thing, we might just do the light holding on the forehead for a little while, mm-hmm. and have them talk about what was the stressful situation, or what are they feeling right now, where do they feel it in the body. And then we want to notice two things when we're done. How easy it is for them to hold their arm up when they think about the stressful situation, but most important, how do they feel differently? So we'd want to have them put a number on the emotion before they start and afterwards, so that they can see, even if it's not 100% clearing up of that emotion, that there is some change and there is some hope to decrease that stress.
That's so fascinating. So if a person is getting older, because guess what, we all do that. I think of seniors, that some of the beings that are a little bit warehoused in a terrible aging kind of thing. And I go, boy, they could be helped by this sort of thing, couldn't they, by releasing a terrific amount of old feeling that's been locked in. Do you think?
Well, absolutely, and that's been part of the vision that, you know, there's so many people who are on their second and third careers. I mean, a typical Touch for Health instructor is maybe 30s or 40s on their second career, or, you know, the empty nest situation and now new career after motherhood, and this is something that they can do either part-time or they can get into it full-time in combination with other energy work. But one of the areas that we really wanted to focus on training lay people of taking care of other lay people is among the retired and elderly people. Some of the elderly people really do still have plenty of energy. Mm-hmm. They may not want to go back to a full-time job, but this is something they can do to help the other people, whether in their community or whether they're in a retirement community. They can be local instructors and local lay therapists to help people get, you know, relieve their aches and pains, improve their function, you know, more range of motion, all those things that people who, you know, they're retired, they may not be as active, they may get a little bit more sedentary. Touch for Health is a way to get them a little bit more active, a little bit of exercise, more in balance, more comfort, so they'll enjoy their lives better.
So they'll believe in the fact they can do things instead of just thinking they're getting old and that's that, right?
Right. I mean, so often people, when they retire, they don't feel like they have a purpose anymore. So Touch for Health is one purpose we can give to people to be active and help other people to see, okay, now in my golden years, so to speak, what do I want to do with my life? Where do I want to put my energy? And by focusing again on the positive, starting to visualize what they'd like to do, you're already moving the energy in the correct direction. But sometimes, you know, you have some doubts, you have some concerns, you have some internal conflicts. So
fear,
that's where finding,
mm-hmm.
right, finding what the emotions are, finding where the energy is stuck in the meridians, finding where the muscles are switched off, and getting those things into balance, people feel like they have a lot more energy freed up to do whatever it is they want to do with their life.
Mm-hmm. I think it's really exciting because what is it like 50% of the population is over 50 now? And it just seems like it's a pretty important time for us to take charge of our healing and our health, right? And our joie de vivre, even if we haven't got a fortune to spend on pharmaceuticals and those things, right?
Yeah, I think Touch for Health is one of the tools, together with all the other things in natural health, you know, looking at your diet and so forth, to focus on health and developing health. And not only just keep going on ignoring aches and pains until they become so extreme that you actually have a diagnosed disease that now really does require some kind of drugs or surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was saying before, back in the 70s, the system was already broken back then. The cost of the advanced scientific medicine was already becoming unsustainable, mm-hmm. and we were relying too much on emergency medical care as the only health treatment, when what we really need to do was more education of people to develop their health in the first place and to prevent most of these major diseases, which are preventable if you take care of your health. But if you mm-hmm. just go about just eating the same manufactured foods and you don't take care of your body and you don't exercise, it takes a lot of years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But even so, even if you have neglected your body and so forth, there's always some hope for improvement. And so doing something to get a little bit more movement, a little bit more flexibility, get your energy flowing so you have the motivation to do the exercise and then look at what you want to do, changes in your diet, you can always start developing your health.
Right. Well, how long is the course? Like, how does a person go and train for being able to be a practitioner? Is it a big, big, long time, years and years?
Well, when we first started out, we just published the Touch for Health book in 1973, and we put it out to the public, and we said, read the directions, try it out, and see if you like it, and just do it. And quite a few people just read it and tried it out, and they did it, and they all found their own ways of doing it. But because it was independent learning, they kind of came up with all kinds of different ways. It didn't all necessarily look the same. And quite a lot of people said, you know, that's nice. I see you do it. And I read about it, it makes sense, but I need some kind of training. So we started with 1 weekend, and you can take a 1 weekend, 15-hour course and learn the basics of what I've been talking about, emotional stress release, zipping up your meridians, switching on with the switching points, and the 14 muscle balance. You'll learn all that in a weekend, and for a lot of people, that's already a lot. If you practice that on a daily or weekly basis, you're balancing all of your 14 muscles and getting energy flowing in your major energy pathways. That right there is going to contribute a lot to everything else you're doing to focus on health and feeling better.
Mm-hmm.
And then over the years, we've expanded to a 75-hour basic training. If you just want to know how to use all the techniques in the book, that will give you a chance to workshop them, practical, hands-on, practice everything. But of course, it's a lot of information. So you also need to keep practicing to be proficient at it. And then, of course, the whole idea is that you use it with your friends and family. If you want to go from there to, you know, charging fees for services, then it just kind of depends on your confidence level and also on what is the requirement in your location. So in California, we have the Health Freedom Bill, which for all alternative medicine, there's no regulation by the state because based on a National Institute of Health study, they didn't find alternative health practices were a danger to the public health. So it wasn't to protect the public that was needed. What was needed was access by the public. So all the alternative health practices, you don't have to be licensed. So what it really comes down to is how much training do you need to feel confident to use these techniques to help other people? And then now that you know it helps people, how confident, how much practice do you need before you feel like you can charge people for the service?
Mm-hmm.
But what we do in Touch for Health, we don't actually train or license or certify practitioners per se, but we train instructors, because remember, Touch for Health came out of applied kinesiology as the application of the system for lay people in like peer-to-peer training. So lay people helping other lay people at the grassroots.
Mm-hmm.
So we train, we have a week, after you've taken the 75 hours basic training, we train people in an intensive week workshop where we train them to teach other people how to use the technique so they can turn around and teach the basic 75-hour program. And so we certify Touch for Health instructors.
Is it a growing thing now? People are getting excited about it. I know it's been going on for a while, but it seems like more people are interested.
Well, in the 70s, I think in some ways there was more of a spirit of the time of people taking care of themselves and not relying on whatever it was, the government system or the medical system, that, you know, they wanted to plant their own organic foods and grow their own sprouts and all those things. And in some ways, the culture right now isn't as much that way of, let me take my health care into my own hands and take real good care of my own health.
Really?
But on the other hand, I think in the 70s, there's a little bit more of we sold 500,000 Touch for Health books in the late 70s and early 80s. And although the book is still selling after 40 years being available to the public, it doesn't sell quite as many. But at the same time, when Touch for Health first came out, it was the only book that talked about you can use muscle testing to check your energy. It was the only book that talked about you can rub your own acupressure points to balance your energy and all these other things. Now, there are probably 500,000 different books on the subject. So, yes, I think the field has exploded. You know, probably the latest explosion was the a sharing of emotional freedom technique,
yes,
and that
a
energy psychology approach.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's you know, probably 100 different systems with different brand names that are using the tapping techniques and lots of books out there. So, yes, it is expanding. It's not still always under the brand name of Touch for Health, but energy work and emotional freedom technique and energy psychology, it's spreading more and more, and not only at the grassroots, but more and more professions are taking it up. I think at the cutting edge, if you look at some of the cutting edge medical universities and you go and look there, they have an integrative medicine department, and they're using things like Touch for Health or Healing Touch or other energy work as part of their protocol of the future of medicine.
Isn't that wonderful? And before we have to end very shortly, but this could go on for quite a while. But before we go, can you talk about animals? Because I know the Tellington Touch, and I've done lots of energy work on horses and so on. And I know a lot of people that really count on this sort of thing for their animals. Do you ever work on animals, or do you know much about that part of the field?
Well, the same way you can work with an infant or somebody who's in a coma who can't respond to a muscle test, you can use a surrogate very easily with an animal. So you can do the muscle testing on a human to get some sense of what's happening with the energy of the animal.
Mm-hmm.
And the same great thing about animals, dogs and horses in particular, cats also, are animals that have more of a natural affinity over the centuries and eons who have been together with human beings. There's a connection, whether you want to call it an energetic connection or a genetic connection. These companion animals naturally respond to our energy, and we respond to them. And so the thing about the animals is that they don't have any skepticism. They're not looking for double-blind studies to prove whether something works or not.
No.
They know when you're sending them love, they feel it immediately. They don't have any skepticism. Well, is this real love or not?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you work with animals, they tend to respond much more easily and more quickly than with conscious adults, because conscious adults also often have their own thinking getting in the way of thinking, well, could this be possible or couldn't be possible? Is it real or isn't it real?
Or resistance.
And the animal just feels the benefit right away and enjoys the benefit.
I think what's interesting about that as well is we're just getting to the end of this discussion, but I think of empathy and how much empathy that we all live in that kind of ambiance, or in that reality of that slew of energies that we exchange, and animals are really, they're always taking on our energy, aren't they?
Yeah, and that brings me to the point, if you're working with animals, or even sometimes people do, there's a lot of people who do kinesiology that works particularly with children, they often want to balance the adults who are around, or if you're balancing a horse, it's important to balance the rider first, because oftentimes the imbalance in the animal is more related to what's happening with their human and not the other way around. So if you balance the rider first, oftentimes many of the imbalances that the horse might be showing, it's due to an imbalance in the posture in the human. And once they come into balance, the horse easily comes into balance.
I love that. Now tell everybody how to get hold of you if you if they want to learn more or find out about courses or any of that.
Well, you can start with my personal website, which is touchforhealth.com, but it's touch with the number 4health.com. And then you can also look at our national association to find instructors all over the country, which is Touch for Health Kinesiology Association.org, but it's just the initials, TFHKA.org.
Wonderful. Well, I hope that people will be checking in. I know many, many people are interested in self-healing these days, and I think it's really growing and very wise for our consciousness, I think. And thank you so much, Matt. This has just been wonderful.
Well, it's been fun talking to you.
And you too. Thank you very much. Bye.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye. And thank you for listening. Goodbye.